That's such a blessing.
Amen.
That's right.
Hey, what's your son's name?
Dominic.
Huh?
Dominic.
All right. Uh-oh, look at
him. Well, that's a nice suit. I didn't notice that.
Oh, my goodness. This is you noticed it, right? See? A new tie. That's all you need. Ties are cheaper than new suits.
Looks good. Yeah. We're going to say it one more time. Just to make sure that circulation's moving. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for today, dear Jesus. We thank you for your presence in this day, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, as our hearts are bowed, dear Lord, to receive your word, dear Jesus, that you continue to use this vessel that's before us, dear Lord. Mm-hmm. Allow Sandy's heart to be open to receive, dear Jesus, mm-hmm. and then allow his spirit to share it in the way you've given it to him, dear Lord. Let him speak with boldness today, dear Lord, and let our hearts receive with that same boldness. We thank you for today. We bless you on today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, could you hand me a water from over here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Boker Tov. Yeah, you guys don't speak Hebrew? Yeah, Jackwell knows. Jackwell's great, like, cool beseda, Pastor. So, are we ready? Are we live?
Yeah.
We are?
Yeah.
Pastor Ben said no.
I did not.
You didn't? All right. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jacqua. She is, every class I've ever taught since I've been at S4C, Jacqua has been there, no matter where. And that's the type of support your pastor needs. But she has always been there. She's always been the best student. So thank you, Jacqua, all the encouragement over the years. I'm studying the Bible so much. See that frustrated face? I'm studying so much, and the Lord is showing me so much, and everything is pointing toward 2022. And I've never in my life, you know, especially within our ministry time, has God like pointed everything to one year. Like, you know, he's given us hints and stuff like that, but never has he been like, this is for this year, this is for this year. You know, just from every angle, God is like saying, tell people, wake up, 2022, this is their year, make sure they're ready, be praying for people, trying to witness to people, do whatever you can right now to get people ready for what's about to happen, okay? More than trying to get people saved and what's going on, I need to also talk to born-again believers, because sometimes we can think we're ready and not be ready. Because, you know, sometimes we ask God to lower his standards, you know. Instead of us saying, help me to raise my standards, we say, Lord, can you, like, lower your standards a little bit so you can accept what I'm doing? And God's like, no, I want you to come up, you know. So, just incredible things. You know, God used two books, and I'm going to talk about this later if I have a chance, Deuteronomy and Psalms. And Deuteronomy and Psalms give you the whole history from the 1900s all the way to the present year. And he tells you exactly what's going to happen in that year. From Deuteronomy, I think from the year of 5660, which would have been like 120 years. And then, but it gives you the whole 120-year record. in Deuteronomy. And I want to do a study on this for Wednesday night. And then in Psalms, it gives you a whole 120-year record of what's going to happen in the world from 1900 to 2029. So, like I said, the Lord's just showing me, like, I'm trying to get people ready now. And someone posted, if your pastor is not getting you ready to leave now, he's not doing a good job. And I went, amen, because, you know, there's so many pastors right now are like, they're all into this, the great revival of the United States, and don't forget to vote for Trump in 2024. And I'm like, come on, man. So let's stay focused on the Bible. I am going to speak from God's heart this morning, because the Lord wants me to speak on this message, to encourage us about what's happening, but to speak on this message, okay? I have on the board love and rebellion, and I have 13. The word love in Hebrew is ahava, and the numerical value for love is 13. But if, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 7. Let's see, why would I start in 13? When you get there, say amen. Yeah. Hope you have your Bibles. I wish I could teach the Bible like all week, but you know, that would like burn me out. But there's so much to be taught from the Word of God. This is one of them, okay? Go to verse 20. And Jesus is talking, and he says, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean, okay? Now, he's having this conversation because about certain foods that defile a man, okay? And Jesus wanted to clear it up, like, what you eat cannot defile you, okay? And he doesn't say it's clean food, and he doesn't say it's healthy food. We got to remember that, too. You know what I mean? You can have pork sandwich, five or six pork sandwiches, but Jesus did not recommend that, okay? There are still foods that are unclean. Because Jesus says, whatever goes into your body does not defile you, but what's inside of you that comes out, you know? Because what you eat goes in, comes out, that's it. But the things that are in your heart that come out of you, he's saying those are the things that defile a man. And Jesus wants you to know, he knows the rebellion that lives inside of man, okay? Rather you think you're a sinner or you don't think you're a sinner, you have this rebellion living inside of your flesh. And God knows that, okay? Because I know people that when they had a lot of money, they were really good people. And when they lost all their money, they became really bad. You know what I mean? So circumstances can change whether you're a good person or not. One guy said, poor people make the best crooks. And it's true, because when you're poor, when you're rich, you're not thinking about stealing or anything. But when you're poor, so this guy thought he was really a good person. But I say, you're a good person because you have everything. But when he lost everything, oh my goodness, he started selling drugs. He started hanging out with the fellas. I was like, man, you have changed a lot since you lost everything, you know? And so we should never think that we're good people, okay? Because no matter how good you feel you are, God says these 13 things live inside of you. And when Jesus comes inside of your life, he's trying to purge you of these things. So I'm gonna read it here. And it says here, he went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For within man and out of man's heart comes evil thoughts,
sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. He says all 13 of these things, and he gives you 13 things to let you know these 13 items of rebellion are inside of man. There's arrogance, there's foolishness, there's folly. And someone may say, well, there's no thievery in me. That's because you have money. There's no adultery in me. Well, that's because you got a good wife and you're doing fine. You know, so never say something is not inside of you. If you don't have Christ, never say I'm a good person because. You're a good person because God put his Holy Spirit in you and it's been able to purge out of you the things that cause rebellion against God. Okay? So now these 13 things God has to overcome inside of every human being. When you come to Christ, no one knows where your starting line was.
Amen.
You understand? Because everybody don't come into Christ at the same starting line.
Right.
Some people come to Christ, they grew up in a Christian home. That's a good starting line, okay? Some people grew up in come to Christ, but they started from child abuse to all kinds of foolishness, parents that are cursing and drinking. They come, their starting line is way back here. And so you don't know where someone's starting line is. So you don't know what God is dealing with to get that person to holiness. Because the race is about getting you to the finish line. And so only God knows where you started from. And only God knows how to get you to the finish line.
Amen.
He needs your cooperation, but he wants to get you to the finish line. Okay?
Amen.
So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Why is the chapter about love, why is it in chapter 13? Because God wrote the book. And the word ahava, love, in Hebrew is 13. Now, if you also notice, there's 13 verses. Why? Because God is trying to let you know this is about his love overcoming your rebellion. God's love is overcoming your rebellion.
Amen.
Understand that.
Amen.
Our sister told me today, she said, I wasn't a good Christian back then. I was a Christian, but I wasn't a good Christian. I didn't have Christ. And I said, you know what? But he had you.
Yeah.
The fact that she's still here shows that even when she knew she was not doing well in Christ, God still had her hand and was still pulling her in the right direction. Even when she was pulling the other way, God was still pulling her in the right direction. You understand? I don't want people to know God as a tyrant.
Amen.
You come to Christ and he's waiting around like waiting around with a belt. Like, I just can't wait, make a mistake. I dare you. What kind of parent would God be? God is not like that. God is sitting around. He's like you would raise a child. They're making mistakes, but you're like, look, don't do this. Let me, you know, you're trying to discipline them and love them at the same time, right? That's God, okay? So we have to know and understand that. And we have to know and understand to love other people means you have to know and understand that we started from different starting lines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You may have to overcome more than I had to overcome.
Yeah.
And God may be like, you know, I think the first thing God wanted to get rid of out of me was bad mouth. And once he got rid of that, then he said, okay, now we're going to start on your weed habit. Because I was making excuses, you know? Because you come into Christ and you go, well, what's really sin and what's not? I knew fornication was a sin. I broke up with my girlfriend right away. I knew that was a sin, you know? And then I started on my language and then God was like slowly bringing me into holiness as he was guiding me and getting me to learn how to walk in holiness. And and understand I had to cooperate. Let's read this here in 1 Corinthians, okay? Chapter 13. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to flames, but have not love, I've gained nothing. So that means I can be a really good Christian and give all my money to the poor, and God says you don't have anything? Like, so? Why? Because you don't have love. You don't have love, so all of those work qualities that you feel make you a good person doesn't make you a good person to God.
Amen.
Because God is trying to get you to be like him. Every dad wants his son, if he's a good dad, he wants his son to be like his dad or greater than his dad, right? But you want your son to be a noble young man, right? So you're trying to get him. God is trying to get us to be like him.
Yes.
He wants you to have his character, okay? Christianity can give you bad character because it can, he said one of the 13 things was arrogance. Christianity can make you arrogant.
Yeah.
You know that? It can make you arrogant. It can make you like, can't believe I'm here with all these pagans. you can really be like that. You can get like that, you know, instead of praying for people, you can start, you know, being the holy, holy, holy one. And so you have to get past that. If you don't have love, God says you have nothing. Okay, so let's find out who God is. Let's these 13 things. It says love is patient. Are you patient with people? Love is kind. Ooh, you remember last month, the two people was about to get in a fight over a parking lot, over a park. They had no kindness. They was ready to throw blows. And then the lady, when I yelled like I was a cop or something, and they drove off, she had on the back of her thing one of those fish signs for a Christian. I was like, whoa. What is that car stolen? Because definitely that ain't a Christian in that car, right? So
wow.
I'm saying, look, God is looking for his character to come out of us.
Amen.
He's not looking for religious people. He's looking for his character to be in us, okay?
Amen.
So he wants to know, are you patient? Are you kind? He says, love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Whoo! That's a big one. Because, you know, some people, how big do you want your ministry to be? It's like, are you crazy? Love is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Oh, my goodness. That used to be inside of me. You didn't have to do anything to get me to go to jail that day. It did. You just had to look at me wrong. And I wanted to fight. And it was like, that's what God told me. I'm sitting at work and he says, you are nothing like me. There are people who don't know me that are more like me than you. And I was a Christian. And God said, I want you to read Corinthians chapter 13 every day until you master it. And the one that hit me was this: love is not easily angered. Yelling at your wife over a soda you left in there. I was gonna drink that. Yeah. What is wrong with you? But it's God is like, I gotta purge this stuff out of you. You understand? I gotta purge this stuff out of you. I gotta get you out of this, because you're not like me. And if you don't have love, you don't have nothing. You think you do,
But people that act like you don't live in heaven. Mm. And the whole thing is trying to get you ready to be a citizen of the kingdom.
Yeah.
You can't be in the kingdom waiting in line going, well, how long this line going to take? You all in heaven and you still ain't grown up maturely, right? So God is trying to get your character to be like his character. Okay? So, and that really hit me. Love is not easily angered.
Amen.
It keeps no records of wrongs. You hear that?
Yeah.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
Yeah.
It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. That's the 13th. So these 13 characteristics of God are overcoming rebellion. His patience is helping you, no matter where you started in the starting line, his patience is helping you get to where you need to be as a true Christian.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I've known, we was going to a church and the pastor got in an argument with one of the members and was saying some horrible things till the point I told him, I can't come to church here no more, you too immature. He's arguing with a member and calling her names. And I'm like, he's a pastor. So that's some ungodly characteristics living in him, but he thinks he's on his way to heaven because they call him Reverend when he comes in the building. But God is seeing his behavior. You understand?
Yeah.
Are you kind? Are you patient? Are you slow to anger?
Yeah.
Do you remember everything that everyone has done to you and you're going to make sure you get them back someday? Or can you forget the wrongs that people have done to you and forgive them? What kind of person are you? Because if you don't have God's characteristics, you don't have love. And if you don't have love, you don't have nothing.
Mm.
So that means every Christian's got to be working on what? Me.
Yes.
Examine yourself to see whether you are in Christ. What was that, like 3 months ago? I put $2 in the air thing and the air didn't work. And I'm telling you, I keep telling people, stop singing that song, I Can Fly, because you cannot fly. You have the Holy Spirit in you. That's why you're doing better.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's flying. You're gliding. Okay? So, the air don't work. I just put $2 worth of quarter in it. I snatched the rubber thing off of the machine. Went, oh, they need to get rid of this thing. And got back in my car and drove off. That's vandalism. Pastor Sandy from Soldiers for Christ. So I'm driving off and the Holy Spirit's like, what did you just do? You could have went to jail for that. Were you crazy? You're a pastor. I pull over and I'm like, forgive me, Father God, Jesus, baby. I thought it was gone. I thought it was over. I thought I was better. No, you're still growing. We're still growing. Guess what? Guess what I could do, though? Because I'm a child of the Father, I can say, I can repent. And it says he's just and he will forgive me of my sins and put me right back in line, right? So that's what God does. And we have to remember that as Christians, is repentance is the thing that made David perfect. Not a perfect life.
Right.
Repentance made him perfect. Now, you want to play with God and say, I'm going to plan some sin and then I'm going to repent. God says this, I want you to know I'm not mocked. God says, know that God is not mocked. What you do, you will pay the price for. You understand? So you can't play that game. But we need to know that this is a growth pattern, okay? And you need to have patience with you because God has patience with you. And he's watching you grow this thing out. And so as you're growing, God is tugging you in the right way. What he really needs is your cooperation.
Yes.
Your desire to say, your will, God, not mine. I want to get into my word because I want to be closer to you. And I know your word's going to purge out what's in me that's not like you. Okay? Let's finish reading this because this is very important. It says here in verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, who's perfection? Jesus. The imperfect disappears. What disappears? Your fleshly body with 13 flaws. It disappears. Yeah. When he comes, your flesh gets done away with. Yeah. You know why you got 13 things of rebellion inside of you? Because of the sin that was committed in the garden.
Yeah.
Oh, that rebellion came upon you. But when Christ comes, the one who's perfect comes, you get a new body.
Yes.
And a new attitude.
Yes.
Able to live in the kingdom of God. You understand?
Amen.
So be happy about that thing. Okay? And it says, the imperfect, it says, but when the perfect comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Okay? Then we shall see him face to face. Understand that. When perfection comes, Jesus will be standing right in front of you. You will see him face to face.
Yes.
Now you're in a resurrected body. Now you're perfected. Okay? If you're trying to reach perfection before that, or you're claiming perfection before that, you are ridiculous.
Amen.
You are not perfect, and you have no right to say that someone else isn't perfect. I don't know whether you're going to make it to heaven or not. I don't care how good of a Christian you are. I don't know whether you're making it or not. You know why? God has no assistant judges sitting on the throne.
Amen.
It's like sitting here is God, and next to him is his assistant, Pastor Sandy. Mm. Really? No. There are no assistant judges. So God knows, okay? He knows where a person started. He knows where a person ends. And he's the one that's still pulling them, trying to get them into heaven. And don't you think if somebody is walking away from Christ, that God walked away from him?
Amen.
So if God didn't walk away from him, then should you gossip about them or should you pray for them?
Pray for them.
I can tell you, hey, brother, you're living in fornication. That's sin. He might say, man, you're just judging me. Okay, I'm out of here. I'll be praying for you. But I'm not going to go to brother so-and-so and say, you know, remember brother so-and-so used to be a deacon? He ain't nothing but old fornicating, cheating on his wife. Yeah. And I'm...
Amen.
That's that. God didn't give me that job. God said for us to love each other. So my job is to what? Pray for that person.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to agree with him with sin when he comes around and go, oh, well, I don't want to say anything because I might be judging him. And you know, every man's got to live. No, I'm going to tell you. I've had friends that have been doing stuff when they were married. And I was like, I can't hang out with you no more. Why can't you? Because you're cheating on your wife, and I don't want my wife to think that I hang around people that do stuff like this. So I don't want to be your friend no more. I don't want you coming around me. I don't want you asking me for nothing, because I don't want to be around people like that.
Amen.
So I'm never going to agree with anyone's sin, but I can at least pray for you when I walk away and not agree with it or try to gossip about it. Or trying to help Satan bring you down, I'm trying to what? Pray for you and hope that God will send his spirit to break up that soil, or break up that spirit to bring you back into right standing, right? Because once we get to heaven, I don't know if you made it or not. Because when they say, you know how they call your name when you get to school? They say, Johnny, and you don't raise your hand. I'm like, well, I told them. So, but we don't allow people to live in sin. It's a horrible thing to do this. Well, that's my brother. He used to be living for Christ. He's living in sin. Well, I don't want to say anything to him because I don't feel like, you know, hearing it. So you walk away, right? So then you get 20 brothers that say the same thing. Nobody ever tells them, hey, you can come out of sin. I'm going to be praying for you. Nobody tells him that, right? So he thinks it's okay. He got, well, once I'm saved, I'm always saved. So you're like, no, you're not. You need to come back in line. Somebody's got to be bold enough to say something, okay? So here, I'm talking too much. Here we go. Then it says, when I became a man, I put away, I put childish things behind me. Now we see a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Listen, then I shall know fully, even as I am known. That is the 2294 that God put for this year.
Amen.
Listen, that is the 2294 that God put in Genesis, pointing to this year.
Yeah.
He says, in 2022, you're going to know. It's going to be revealed to you.
Yeah.
Means the book of Revelation means revealed. And it says, and 94 says, and you're going to know him. And it is linked to Gentiles. But it says, and you are going to know him. The same way as it says here, when perfection comes, then you will know him face to face, even as you are known. 2294 is about to be revealed to mankind.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You're going to know him as he knows you. Okay? Yes. You're going to see him face to face. You don't have to worry about, you know, the continual striving to sanctify yourself and get yourself right. You're going to be known as you are known.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
Preach.
Am I preaching today? You know, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It's amazing. Harvest, the wheat harvest is wheat is 22. That's amazing. Tribulation, 22 times.
Amazing.
It's like God's like, I'm gonna tell you in 100 different ways this is the year, so you could tell people to get ready because this is the year, okay?
Amen.
And tell them don't look for signs, don't look for the sky to turn blue, or somebody went, oh, there's gonna be a blood moon while Biden's in. Who cares? It doesn't matter. When all it matters is what the Bible says, and the Bible says you're in the year, get ready to go. I'm not looking for signs. I don't need a sign. I need the Bible. Jesus told me I'm in the last generation. Jesus told me it would be 80 years. I know I'm only 7 years away from that. I know where I stand.
Yes.
The Bible tells me wheat is 22. The Bible tells me tribulation is 22.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
The Bible's telling me. Yes. So I don't need a sign.
Amen.
I need the Word of God. It's more tangible than signs.
Yes.
The Word of God is more important.
Amen.
You in Hebrews chapter 12?
Yes.
Go to verse 13. And am I in 12? Okay. It says, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Okay. I'll explain what he's talking about there. He's talking about walking a straight line with God, walking on a level path with God, making sure that you do everything that you're walking correctly with God, okay? God wants us to walk in harmony with him, okay? So he's saying make every effort to make your path a path that you can walk on, okay? And it says, make every effort, for verse 14, to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness,
no one will see the Lord. You hear that?
Amen.
So what is the, if you can't see God without being holy, what does it mean to be holy? What is the word there? It's a Greek word. And let me see, this Greek word is called, huh? Hagamos. And it means purification, consecration, sanctification. And the definition, it says here, the process of pulling yourself away for a better, for a greater cause. So if I'm going to sanctify myself or consecrate myself, I'm going to pull myself away from foolishness for a greater cause. Yeah. I want to live for God.
Yeah.
I remember the first time when I, after I got saved, they went, hey, Sandman, we don't see you. How come you don't come around no more? We don't see you. I said, I'm sanctifying myself. Under my breath, I said, from stupidity. But that's what I was doing. I was sanctifying myself.
Yeah.
I said, why you don't come around, man? Well, you know, we always will. We're having time. We're drinking beer. They got the weed. And you don't come around no more. Why you don't come around no more? I'm sanctifying myself from stupidity. Because all you do is play dominoes, smoke weed, and then somebody says something, somebody don't, and then there's a fight. Then we go home, and then we come back next week, and everybody drink beer, you smoke weed, you play dominoes, and somebody get in a fight. Then I was like, I'm sanctifying myself from your stupidity.
Yeah.
Why you don't come around no more? You think you're better than us?
Yes.
I've been born again.
Amen.
So I'm separating myself from you for a greater cause.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
So that's what sanctification is. It's the process of saying, I'm pulling myself away from stupidity to be closer to God.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm gonna get into my word. And you don't watch TV with us no more. I'm taking a couple hours to sanctify myself for a greater cause.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I realize this. My friend died at 19. God lets me see heaven. I'm witnessing to a lady whose husband was not saved, and she said she wants to go to the same place he does. So I'm praying for her, and she accepts Christ. Then she dies, then God lets me see her in heaven. I'm doing prison ministry. A guy, a gang member named Quick, accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. When he gets out, he gets shot and he dies. God lets me see him in heaven.
Amen.
Fourth time, I say, Lord, why you always take me to the same spot? Is there, what other places are in heaven? I get to see the city.
Amen.
So mentally, I'm not with y'all. I'm like Daniel Hood, because Daniel Hood got to see hell.
Yeah.
Or he got to see the tunnel leading there, right? So Daniel Hood rode around in a wheelchair, speaking the word of God and preaching to people every day. He'd go into prison with me. You just saw the video. He would go in prison with me. He would tell people, like, he's like, man, I was selling drugs just like you. I thought I had it going on until I got in the tunnel on my way to hell, right? So my mentality is, I know there's a heaven. I saw the homes. I saw the beauty of it. I saw that people are having life. I saw that. So I'm not with you guys. I'm like, I want to go there. So I don't even think about sin. You understand?
Amen.
And I want you to know what's at hand. When you don't sanctify yourself, here, let's continue. Let's continue reading this. It says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble and defiles many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance right as the older brother. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessings, he was rejected
He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You hear that? He was in line for a great inheritance, but he came in one day and he wanted to fulfill his fleshly desire. And at that time, he was just hungry. He didn't even think about, I'm selling my inheritance rights for a bowl of soup. The same way as you're like, you're in your house going, I'm selling my inheritance, right? I'm selling a mansion. Because Christ says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. In the Bible, it says you'll be walking on streets of gold. In the Bible, it says you will reign and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. You got all this coming to you. And you say, I'm going to sell this so I can watch porn tonight. It's a bowl of soup. Because that is going to become a drug. Any man that ever gets involved with pornography knows it's a drug. It's the worst drug you could ever be on. Because now you got to figure out a way how to get off of it. And only the power of God can get you off that drug like any other drug. And it ruins your life. Just like any other drug. It'll ruin your marriage, just like any other drug. It'll ruin your job, just like any other drug. So now you have to get off of it. So it's something you can't like. A guy told me, he said he was in AA. He said the worst day that ever happened to me was 15 years old. My uncle said, you want a beer? He said, I never saw sober days after that, after 15. The worst thing, he said, my worst day was my uncle said, you want a beer? Because he didn't know how his body was going to react. But he said that led to alcoholism till I was 42. You understand? So when Satan offers you something, he knows what the ramifications are going to be. You don't. You think you're just indulging. When you try to sanctify yourself, the world is not going to be on your side. You can't even sanctify yourself from food.
Amen.
Because everybody will go, you're not eating fries? Why are you not eating fries? Well, I'm trying, you know, trying to be healthier. Why? The whole world is not with you.
Amen.
And when it comes to sin, they're not with you. Now, you don't curse? Why? I was at work. I told y'all guys a long time ago. You never cheated on your wife? No, you stupid. Not even once? That's the world. They don't understand sanctification and holiness and living for God. All they know is what Satan has taught them. And for anybody to try to pull away from what Satan has taught them, they're like, what's wrong with you? I notice you don't curse. Why? I don't like to. It sounds stupid. But they want to know why. And this is what I'm trying to say. Nobody is on your side for sanctification. The world is not on your side. Your flesh is not on your side. Your flesh is not on your side. I had 3 donuts last week. I did sit-ups all last week and had 3 donuts. Soon as Drea went out of town, I went to the donut shop. So that means my flesh isn't on my side. I'm talking about getting abs, and my flesh is like, no, we not. I like our side handles, and we, this is what we do. Let's go. And I didn't get the little one, the big one. You know the big one for $1.50? I got the big one, right? But I'm in my mind, I'm like, I'll get these for the boys.
Yeah.
So your flesh is not on your side. The world is not on your side. Nobody's on your side when you want to sanctify. When you want to do something better, you have to be determined to give your will over to God.
Amen.
You have to be determined.
Amen.
I said, Lord, you know I'm not a preacher. What is this all about? He said, my people have to be ready. They have to know they need to have forgiving hearts. They need to know when you speak evil on somebody who you say went back into the world and you're not praying for them, while I'm up here trying to figure out how to get them saved, and you're putting words out against them coming back to Christ, we're not on the same page. I need you to be on the same page with me, okay? Oh yeah, I saw him give his life to Christ. I know he didn't mean it. How you know? When did you get inside of his heart?
Right.
I thought only God knew a heart. So I'm just saying, look, nobody knows where the starting line was. Okay? I don't know if you, what you went through when you were a child. I don't know where you're starting. I don't, but I know God has you.
Yeah.
And I know God is directing you. And I know long as you submit your will to him, listen, long as you submit your will to him, he's going to keep pulling you. You can yank away and try to go. God will follow you. God is so loving.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about a person that, if I told you guys some of the things, you say, if I was God, that's when I would have let you go right there, Pastor Sandy. Right there is when I would have been like, okay, I'm done, right? And I know, because I've lived this life out. I know this is when I would have said, oh, that's just too much. You got to go. But God was like always sending people my way to tell me about Jesus. And I'm like, I know Jesus. I got saved when I was 17. It's like, they were like, shocked, you're a Christian? But it was God that was kept sending people. Like, I gotta get them to come to his common sense,
yeah.
and to come into sanctification and have his will into my will. Because God's not gonna make you do anything. He's just trying to wake up your will. He's trying to wake up your will to live for him. Because if your will is his will, you guys can make it to the kingdom together.
Amen.
Don't give this up for a bowl of soup.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Where you end up, man, give a guy $100. Because I wanted to, he already had money. He had a nice car. I just want to give you $100. It's like, what for, man? I'll take it, you know. It's okay. I said, I just wanted to give you because God wanted me to tell you something. If I gave you this $100 and a million more just like it, it wouldn't be half as glorious as knowing God and gaining eternal life. No matter how much money you have, you still got to die, and you're either going to go to heaven or hell. See, the money allowed him to listen. That's all I was doing. I just wanted him to listen. I see you got a nice car. You probably got a nice family, whatever. But I'm saying, Jesus wants you in heaven. Because when all this goes, you've got to live somewhere forever. That's it. God bless you. You have a good day. But you have to know and understand, if he's a trillion billionaire, it doesn't compare to have a body that lives forever, reigning and ruling with Christ, having a mansion of your own,
yeah.
A body that doesn't get sick. It doesn't compare. Trips to Saturn? You know what I mean? You got to remember you're a co-inheritor. You got to remember what you're inheriting. You got to remember what you're fighting for.
Yeah.
God is awesome. He's pointing me to this year. Thank you. I like Pastor Ben. He don't like to say 10 minutes because everybody's like, oh, they go Pastor Ben again. So to be a, not be the bad guy, he created signs. We know what you're doing, Pastor Ben. Because people be like, oh, man, Pastor Ben needs to stop. So now he just goes, I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing. They saw you lift the sign. All right. I'm shocked if we go past 2022. Somebody said, well, it might be Rosh Hashanah 2022. And you know I'm against Rosh Hashanah rapture. But if I get to heaven and it happens on Rosh Hashanah, I ain't going to argue with anybody.
Amen.
You understand? I think it's going to happen in the summer during the wheat harvest. But if it happens in Rosh Hashanah, I'll be in heaven like, hey Peter, I really messed up on that one. Yeah, I really thought it wasn't going to be Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, no, don't call me Peter. Call me Baby Rock. Okay. See you later, man. Right? But I got eternal life, so who cares?
Right? Exactly.
Right?
Right.
So I'm saying, look, we have an inheritance. God is doing his best to make sure you get your inheritance. Okay? Look, I'm revealing to you a secret. Easiest thing for Satan to do is to discourage you because you're not perfect. If I was you, I would stop calling myself a Christian and just go live my life, because it's obvious you can't do this. That's what Satan told me. And I repeated him and said, don't call me a Christian. I can't do it because I can't live like you people. So you know what, I quit. I told him I don't want to be a Christian anymore, because I don't live a Christian. I'm not going to say I'm a Christian. I quit. That's the easiest thing for Satan to do, is to get you to quit. Nobody came to me and said, why don't you just repent and keep going?
Right.
Nobody came to me to tell me that. They just said, oh, you heard about Sam? Yeah, he don't even go to church no more. He was so fired up before. Or everything, but nobody said, why don't you just repent and keep going? God had to come to me and say, look, you repented. I'm still with you. I still got you. Let's keep going. Okay? Because of that, I stand before you a pastor. Not because I'm a really good guy and I worked it all out. No. God was holding me and pulling me, sending people, encouraging me, trying to get me to where I need to be, okay? God does not let go of valuable things.
Amen.
Amen. I'm
telling you. My Volkswagen stopped. You know what I did one day? I got out of it and walked away and said, whoever tows it is fine. My Mercedes broke down. I stood by there. I'm calling people like, can you come get my car? You understand? Or I don't care how much the tow is. Or I don't care. Just come get my car. Why? It was valuable to me.
What Volkswagen?
I walked away from it. God doesn't. You know, blood was paid for you.
Yeah.
You know how valuable that is?
Amen.
Amen.
And you think because he's on the road with you and you pull over and your red light's on and you don't seem to be working well, that God goes, well, forget it. I'm just walking away. Mm-mm. God is standing like that. And we need a tow truck on the 110. I got my little man here.
Right.
You know, and I pay blood for him. He's very valuable to me.
Yeah.
We got to get him somewhere to get him fixed. The greatest gift is this. Watch this. Came back to Christ, got to California. When I got to California, met a girl. Oh, you want to go out? Not Drea, it was some crazy other girl. And then I knew I had repented in prison before I came back, but now I'm like, I messed up again. You know what? Watch this. Watch this gift. Drea was crazy too, so don't. I'm trying not to tell her story. She back there telling he was crazy. But she had some stuff going on too, right? But this is the easiest thing to do is this. Watch. I fell down on my knees and I repented. And know what I said? I'm repenting again, Lord. Help me this time to get better. And I was sincere. You understand? That's a gift from God. Everybody, angels can't even do that. Angels don't get that privilege. You get that privilege. So look, hang on to Christ because he's hanging on to you.
Amen.
I don't expect to get out of this year without a rapture. And so I'm hoping to see everybody there. Don't talk about anybody. pray for everybody. Because when you get to heaven, there'll be 10 people that are going, what the heck is she doing here? Right? And there are 10 people that are going to go, what the heck are you doing here? Right? So only God knows. So our job is to love each other and pray for each other and to be honest with each other. I'm not going to tell you not in sin if you are in sin, not to be afraid to argue with people. I will argue with you. You're in sin. I am judging you. I am judging you. I'm righteously judging you.
Right.
What you're doing is wrong.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It does. The Bible doesn't say don't be a righteous judge. Righteous judges, I'm telling you, this is wrong.
Amen.
Amen.
But don't be a judge to say he'll never make it. That's a different judge.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
I'm so happy for my family in Christ. Amen. Soldiers for Christ is the great church. Thank you, Pastor Dan.
Thank you, God.
Praise God. Okay. I'm done.
That's it?
That's it. I was talking a lot, man. I was like yapping. Okay. See? You don't have to repent for donuts. I just felt bad.